Fase 2. Duck appointment number 11, recorded on May 30, 2013, during the opening days of the 55th International Art Exhibition, Venice Biennale, at Palazzo Giustinian Lollin, panel of international artists, entrepreneurs, and exponents of public administration meet each other to get the second level of the whole DAC project. Participants of the roundtable: artist Jean-Baptiste de Cavel, entrepreneur Bert van de Linde, Andrea da Pretto, town planning councillor of Trieste, architect Nico Dox, artist Marcello Zaccagnini, entrepreneur, and artists Gianfranco Baruchello, Annie Ratti, and Fabrice Hibert, entrepreneur Roberto Crivillini, maître parfumeur Maria Candida Gentile, artists Luca Vitone and Alfredo Pirri, the gallerist Mario Pieroni of RAM Radio Arte Mobile, moderator of the meeting Giovanna Felluga, a temporary studio.
Welcome everybody, thank you for being here, especially during these crazy days of openings of the Biennale. We are at the 11th DAC meeting. DAC is a project that I think most of you know. It's founded by RAM Radio Arte Mobile. The main goal is to organize, develop moments like this where producers and artists get together and sit together around the same table. Today we have a special, very special table, which is a project made by Yona Friedan and Jean-Baptiste Cavel and Nico Dox. They are here and then they will explain better why we are sitting around these boxes, this piece of art. First of all, I would like to thank the mayor of the house, Bert van der Linde, technical director of Parmes Elisa, which is a sponsor of the Dutch pavilion. Lorenzo Benedetti is the curator of the Dutch pavilion, and we are here thanks to Lorenzo and thanks to Bert. This meeting is quite important because we spent 10 appointments to try to find a method of DAC, to define the spirit of DAC and to see how producer and artist can really work together. Now we get at the second level, and here we have a producer that have been developing really projects with artists, and also artists as well. So we'll have examples to see how these two worlds that seems to be really far away, distance one to each other, can dialogue and can build realities together. New ways to conceive the product and to conceive the company as well, but in the same times they can delimitate, they can create new territory for art. Okay, so we will speak and jump between a producer and an artist, but very open. So this is a very informal meeting, so you can free to speak anytime you want. But before of getting to inside, deeper inside the topic, I would like to give space and voice to the padrone di casa to see why we to say how we are here, and actually what's your point of view concerning the relation of a company with art. So like in this Biennale, you gave an example because you get and you help culture, so it's a strong message that you gave. So I would like to have your opinion.
Bert van der Linde.
Well, it's nice to hear that you experience it as a strong message. Thank you very much.
Actually, we are here.
Well,
wishes.
To start with, all very welcome in this house of Parmes Elisa. We have the honor to use this for a number of years to present our company in our activities. To say something to start this discussion, for me it's the second time. Last time was in Holland in Middelburg, and I was more or less involved in it by surprise because of Lorenzo. We met each other and we talked about the event here which he's doing now, and then at the same time we were talking about what you are trying to achieve here. And I had some experiences myself with some artists in Holland where we were working together, and we discussed that intensively last time, I think, in Middleborough, that it was purely a coincidence that it was between friends and it started in the pub and that kind of things. I know not so much about art. I'm interested in but I'm certainly not the person who can say a lot of it. But it's always nice to be in the environment. But since then, I have been thinking about what we actually mean with it. If you want to, let's say, stimulate a cooperation between what you call producers, the industry, or whatever you want to call it, and the artistic world. I personally find it a very difficult subject to give it some structure, to give it something where you can say, can we define something, how it could be increased, or how it could work together? And I don't have the solution for that. The only thing I can say is that in a world with a changing economy, the governments are always trying, when there is less money, to move some responsibility to the, let's say, to the entrepreneurs. I've seen that clearly on the Dutch, pavilion of the Biennale. There was a strong statement that there should be done more between the entrepreneurs and the artistic world. And the government is leaning back, and maybe that is not so bad, because maybe we can achieve more if we do it well without the government. But it is also something like, maybe in the good times you don't need it, and in the bad times it doesn't work. This is something to remember, and if I think about a corporation, I personally had some nice experiences. We have a product which is very close to architecture, so we do a lot of work with architects. And therefore, I mean, the gap, I think, between artists and now what we are doing is not tremendously big. And from time to time, we are connected to it. But what I think is an important thing to realize is that we should create much more two-way traffic. In the first place, I think the government's role should be less. It would be interesting for the Dutch opening. I'm talking about the Dutch because that's where I was. Maybe it's in different countries, but to analyze the presence of the people over there, to see how many were from the industry and how many were artists and how many were from the government. I wouldn't be surprised that 70% was from the government. So, and there were no entrepreneurs. We were there by accident. So maybe this is also something which is discussed if we want to do something. And the last thing, and then I stop, is to say that the two-way traffic. I think in all the meetings I had, for the second big one, and more official, but also in the past, we talk more about art than about industry. So you almost feel as a producer that you should be more interested in the other party than the other party should be interested in you. And that's maybe also an obstacle. So I'm not saying that the artist should change, but I think the two-way, interest of what we are doing and how we can fuse those things into something we might want to achieve, there we can invest.
Now we switch between English and Italian according to the person, and I think this is very precise and very close to what Mario says today, and is it's difficult to make this the producer, the entrepreneur, and the artist speak together, like find a way to achieve the project at the end. What Mario says, and then you will tell you in Italian, is that sometimes figure, rules, people that, like Mario and Dora, and that's why actually we are here with Doug, can help, can be like a filter, and can help and guarantee to the producer the result of the project. Because they are very close to the artist, but again, at the same time, they're not artists, so they can be like a filter, and they can help both sides to achieve the project. Questo è quello che, no? Mi sembrava, se vuoi aggiungere qualcosa sul discorso proprio della garanzia, no? Del risultato del progetto, dello startup del progetto.
Mario Pieroni.
Want to present and want to introduce artists and with producers, different mentality. Yeah. And this is a big problem. Because two different mentality, and we have to continue or to fix the project. And this is not easy. We can to guarantee this project. This is sense.
Bert van der Linde.
I believe it's it's a matter of how you think about it. If you want to bring art into it, as that it could be a very big, interesting thing in terms of business for the producers. Maybe for the small entrepreneurs it's a little bit different, but for the bigger entrepreneurs, I don't think that will be the case. So we have to forget that the entrepreneurs will be very, let's say, eager to be involved because it's business for them. That is not the case. But there could be other elements like image or some particular, let's say your name is involved, or they have the interest in it. And I'm sure that if you start something as an entrepreneur, you would like to see it finished, yeah, and completed. But if not, I would personally be toward it. And I'm sure that the industry can provide, let's say, some service to the creation of the art in terms of the technical thing or the materials or whatsoever. But I still have I think many companies, if we are so far, wouldn't have the biggest problem in being involved. Get it together in the first instance. I think this is the big jump to make. Yeah. I cannot think about a real formula how to create ideas.
Jean-Baptiste introduced the link into what they are saying and to introduce and explain the project.
Jean-Baptiste Cabel.
We met in Middelburg, the exhibition with Jana Friedman, architecture with a building. And when the exhibition in Middelburg was a consequence of a DAC meeting in Roma in January 2012, and there was a project of Jana Friedman to develop the iconostasis as an extension of the museum. And so we did kind of development of the idea at the reason we met, and all this to say that when Dora and Mario invited us to be here today, we started to speak together with Jana Friedman, and the idea was what will be the next step after building the iconostasis in order to develop a process that will involve all the components of the process. So I think that as art, as writers, as entrepreneurs, we are all entrepreneurs because we do believe in specific ideas. And for me, the point is that I do believe in ideas and I'm going to put myself in a situation to develop them. But I know that I cannot do it by myself. And in order to be able to do it, I need to join those common skills. I mean, the skills you have, I don't have them, but I know that they are complementary. And so the answer of Fiona was, since we are in the Biennale, was to propose everybody here, try to get something, to develop what he calls Le Musée Biennale. So it's a very clear proposition that I'm here to discuss with you. And since Fiona is not here, he wrote a little note about it, which will be for you a definition of what we're proposing you. So he says that we all know what Biennales are. You know the Venice one, you know the Paris one, you know the Moscow one, and all those Biennales from other cities. The particularity of the Biennale is that it's an exhibition, it's an art fair, but the particularity is that it's going to be open for 1 or 2 months or 3 months every second year. It's a presentation of art pieces, it's like a vitrine provisoire. And so the proposition of Musée Biennale is similar in a way, but it's also different. It's the idea is to exhibit selection of art things landed by artists or realized in the specificity of the project. And it will be like urban mobilier. And it will be, the popularity also, it will be for a duration of 2 years. So it will be provisory museum that will renew itself every 2 years in relationship to different locations. Different locations that one will decide to share with us. And then it will be, in the difference of regular exhibition, the scenography of the thing or the conceptualization of the content of the museum will be done by the complementarity of all our knowledge. So, for example, In a Biennale, you have one curator, for example, who is going to deal one pavilion, and the composition of Fiona and will be to work all together in relationship to our skills, our knowledge, in order to build very specific programmation and in order also to build this museum. It's like a museum mobile, And so it will be Dog Republic related to you, to Nico, to the Dora, Mario, everybody here wants to be involved in a way to think about other museum modality, are welcome to do it with us. And I think it's Jonas speaks about the installation he did with Musée dans la rue in Como, which the idea was to walk and to exhibit things in the street. And I think it's there is something common with what you said, because in order to do things, I mean, there is a crisis, we all know that there is a crisis, and for me the simple thing with the crisis is that in a way it's a call to redefine things. And I think it's incredible for me to be here in a way, because we are all people from very specific, with very specific acuity, and we come here because we have the wish to put together our knowledge in order to build a specific form, a specific structure. And I think that as an artist, of course, it's incredible to think that it's possible to redefine the museum. But I'm not going to do it by myself. And I think it's a conversation to have. I mean, the important thing is that we try to establish common understanding based on our own language. My own language as an artist or entrepreneur is to do modalities in a very specific way, and we can have a common understanding. So it's welcome to ask and to answer. Well,
Musée dans la rue was made thanks to Annie Ratti Foundation. Antonio Ratti Foundation, which is President Dani, who I switch in Italian, Annie che. Artista internazionale che tutti conosciamo, però ha anche questa doppia figura, che è molto vicina al mondo dell'impresa perché proviene dal mondo dell'impresa, e in questo modo è anche si riavvicina con una visione artistica. E, se vuoi, Ani, darci giusto un tuo punto di vista su visto che provieni da quel mondo e però hai una visione totalmente da artista, quindi sia legato al progetto fatto con Jonah Friedman e sia al tuo lavoro.
Yes, it's true. I have this peculiar position. I'm the daughter of an entrepreneur. And of course, as a kid, I've seen my father dedicate a lot of time, energy and attention to art and culture, which was part of the problem inside the industry. So they had really a space where they were doing a lot of artistic form, from concert to theater, and also exhibition, and also more cultural and technical. From then, he has created a foundation where he could store and exhibit now his textile collection, because it's an industry on textile, specifically on silk. As a daughter, I chose to be an artist. I've been working as an artist all my life, and the last 19 years inside this foundation, I've been running a workshop, a laboratory for young artists, to give the possibility to young Italian artists to have a brainstorm together and also to produce some kind of exhibition in a collaboration with the other artists who could inspire them and could also. He was the leader, if you in a certain way, and also the leader of the discussion, also the pole in the middle. Also, if it was a very horizontal way to work, you know, curator, myself, another artist invited, and the younger artist, and on that mostly was analysis, production of ideas, and also production of artworks, first by the artist invited. A kind of historical figure who has produced a work which has an important meaning still in today. And so I've been in between all of this, so I know exactly. And I like when Jean-Baptiste talked about a crisis. And the crisis is a moment to redefine things. And of course, this foundation now has a hard time to keep going, because you know the funds are not the same as before. My father is not here anymore, and also the the factory and the foundation are completely two different entities. But we're still able to run programs, same. I'm running this program since 19 years. And, you know, but it's not as easy as before, of course. But I think the crisis everywhere, and it's not just the crisis, economical crisis, worldwide talking, but it's the crisis is on the art system. I think that's why Mario was a most established gallerist in Rome many, many years. He decided to close his gallery and work as a foundation. It's because the system itself was a bit obsolete. I mean, the figure of artists and the figure of the gallerist and the gallery itself was no more the right container for producing and exhibiting art. Same problem, I think, is not, I don't know how much is the right container at Biennale or a Documenta, where, you know, there is a kind of situation very chaotic. And that's, I think, that's why here. There's a crisis also in the art system, and we try to understand in which way to produce a continuity on what has been done before in a different way through using different kind of media, system, structure, and also rhizomes, in the sense a kind of connection, you know, creating a connection, and a good connection, I think. It could be a directly communication between the private, the art producer, and art. I think I've always seen, since I was a kid, that has been grateful to both, you know, for a producer to have artists producing inside the company has always been a bridge, a kind of open window in something which has a meaning which is completely different from the meaning of a producer. So, of course, in the right way is not easy. You know, a foundation is a place where you produce culture, so it's very easy from there to produce a residency, producing something as we're doing, which is extremely helpful for young artists. But as a producer, I don't know what could be the good recipe, but I think it's starting to work together, starting to have acting hanging out in the space of the industry and having a collaboration. It's not just the producer give money, you know, as a sponsor, but he's directly involved in the production of idea of an artist. That's going to be very important for a producer, I think. You know, there's a real exchange, there's a real communication. It's not just because you're working with iron, you know, an artist producing a sculpture with iron is going to ask you to sponsor it. I think it could be much more. It could be extremely helpful for both, and it's nourishing more than helpful, you know, can be, and this is still missing because, you know, and I think this is also a way, because the gallery are, you know, are filter, and, you know, and this filter now is no more the right system, you know. Public institutions, they do what they can, but also they have a money problem, which is very important. So I'm not saying that, you know, the producer are the one that have the money, they have all this equity, but, you know, sometimes you can do things with little. It's not important, a lot of money. It's just, you know, it's the desire to collaborate and work together, and then you produce things with what you have.
Bert van der Linde.
And my experience is, you know, I'm in contact with that world. We always talk about art. We never talk about it. Yeah?
But it also generates a global image of a very specific community. If I talk with you, I will never ask you for money. I will talk to you in order to put myself and yourself and other people here, in which we will be something together related to how we think about this idea. Even if, I know a little bit about industry and everybody has an idea. But it's for me, it's much more about a possible representation of the world we live in. And for me, this world is a world of multiplicity and an incredible period of time also, where it's possible to react in a situation of crisis in a way that we reconsider the modalité économique and the modalité relationnelle. I think the modalité relationnelle is also a very big problem, because of course I can just isolate you in your function, but this is impossible. I mean, if we if we just isolate people in their own function, this is a dead end form. And I don't believe in this. And I just want to bring to the public space, because we talk about public space, another possibility of being together, because there is a high level of complementarity. And this is also something that which I find very important with all the idea of Jana Friedman, is this is how he thinks. And the propositions that he makes are very serious, and because he's an architect and he thinks a lot. And there are modalities of possibility. And so I just do believe simply that we are complementary. And it means for me that we have to engage the discussion. That's why we're here. Because the particularity of C also is the use of language. And with the use of language, it's possible to redefine things. And it's possible also to build, to complete our common understanding of things, not based on differentiation. And we are all different by definition, but we're also complementary.
And I think we don't know it. I mean, we don't know each other. You know, I mean, artists they don't know the world of producers. They don't know the world of artists. And just knowing, you know, the two worlds. I mean, comparing the two worlds is very interesting. Now, my experience has been in two cases. Really, how artists are fascinated and interested in knowing how industry, production or any kind of materials. The machinery and how what is behind the scenes. The artists we invite to run the program, they love to go to the factory and use the machine to, you know, they were used to print the scarf or textile to do artwork, you know. And the way they used the machine, not in a surrealistic, you know, it was extremely interesting to use in text. So, you know, later, very, very well known artists. They prefer to the idea that produce a drawing that we should buy as a foundation, we'll keep as a memory, we'll love the idea to go to the factory, find out how it works, and from there produce something which was their own work, but was part of a textile, you know, could be a scarf, could be whatever it is, or, you know, curtains, paras, whatever. Same way, the young artists every year that we ask if they want to visit the factory, we still have the opportunity to visit, and they love to go. And since at the end of the workshop they produce an exhibition, they take a lot of idea, besides, you know, leftover material, you know, leftover of textile, but they take idea. Was an amazing artist coming from the Whitney program, she's now well known. She asked the permission to go and film there. One lady was just checking the mistake in the textile, and she made amazing work. She was already young, amazing artist, but the video she made, she got the prize. So, and for them, every time they say, we ask them at the end, now what is your experience? What is, say, to visit the factory, to visit how it works, you know, that it's an incredible, important experience. They ask sometimes to go back. Some they ask to interview the works are there, you know, and they make of, the more political young artists, they like to do a work starting from that point. And it's very important, it's a territory, and I think it's important for, even for the factory to have them around, to have been interviewed, there are some kind of collaboration very specific at the start.
No, because as an artist, you're as a producer. So you're also curious and interested in to see how somebody else produces. So I definitely believe that as an artist, you can bring something to the industry, other ways of producing, and maybe find together other ways of producing. So much that it's only this two-way traffic you were talking about, but you give money, the artist gives an object, in return somehow, this kind of work produces a project. But that there's more ways of having an exchange in the production process. And I think the complementarity that Jean-Baptiste talks about is a very good tool, because you go and look for differences between our ways of production, the similarities, but also the complementarity of production.
Well,
I believe, huh, that is.
No, but we touched that subject also last time when we spoke. I mean, it's in a totally different part of the discussion, but we, for instance, we are looking for all the time for our products for good designers. And we came to the conclusion that a good designer doesn't need always only to have a good technical background and a technical education to be a good designer. You need more than that, the extra dimension. It's more a talent almost than an education. So actually at today, Public Luisa, we try to find out how that can work. And maybe in that respect, there is also a connection where the artist can give a dimension to the way of designing. For us, we are not making a piece of art, we know that, but the way how to do it, let's say the thinking of the artist could be a big support in that. This is certainly an area where you
could. Well, for example, personally, I make a lot of books, and I've been working with a printer for already 15 years, and I learned a lot by visiting the printing place, and it gives me feedback to make books, but at the same time, him printing the books for me gives him feedback how to do the printing. So it's a kind of like exchange between, in the production process of making books, in between a company and an artist.
But the problem with all of this is that all those things will happen by incidents, because you know each other. Because I knew the artist in Holland because his daughter was at the same school as my daughter. Yeah. Therefore, we came into contact with each other and things happened. So I don't know. There is no common understanding in the industry, I can tell you, today, to think about it like we just discussed. And maybe this is the first step we have to materialize, that the dialogue is going on, and to see both what could be the benefits of it. And if you want to structure it in a forced way, it will never happen. So I think the creation of the contact is extremely important.
Here we have another producer, actually, that is developing, or as in a startup to develop.
On the way,
a project with Fabrice Hibert. And Fabrice Hibert knows a lot about what we are talking about, because he started in 1999 a project called Vues, together actually with Giuliana Setari, the Foundation, Zerinzia at the time. And you have been thinking and working on the topic a lot, even it's part of your own poetic. And here we have Roberto Crivellini, that is a producer.
Who wasn't?
But he's changing and becoming a new producer.
Fabrice Hibert.
So please, if you want to...
Yes, I worked very often with companies and producers, and since more than 20 years now, because I wanted to do something. And to do something, we need material or money. And for French government, for example, in the 19th century, it was very difficult. 19th century, long time ago, and it was very difficult because there is less and less money. And I needed some to make the biggest soap in the world, you know, this piece. And I asked for the company of soap to give me. But at this time, I understand that there is something else that only produce something, but there is a link between them. We make effort. The company make effort. I do effort. And the two efforts make a work. And this is very important, and I engage a lot of things about that at that time. I began a company, the name is UR, Pure, Unlimited Responsibility. And after we do this network with Zerintia, with Dena Foundation, a lot of places like that, to do the network of wood waste, the producer and artist. And now my work is more about to have moments to experiment these ideas between art. At this moment, I'm very involved to two things: to make a school for artists, to find the producer, and this school to realize something with producer at the same time. And in my work, the second part is to engage more link between producer, but not only to do object, but to do ideas. To do more about what is the possibility, and it's why I will work together. And it's nice to begin something new between Isa, but you can speak about that.
Roberto Crivellini.
Can I speak about that? Okay. Thanks to our host, and first of all, also thanks to Mario Dario, because I'm here because of the crisis and because of the coincidence of things of life that brought us together. And as a matter of fact, I'm As I said earlier, I was a producer in the sense that for many years I used to have a textile business. And as we said earlier, thanks to the crisis, we all understood 2008, 2009, that things had changed completely. I used to make home textiles, but it was easily understandable that people, consumers, if you want to call them like that, at least they did not care so much about, you know, normal products, normal textiles. They wanted more, they were more interested in stories, something that made their life easier or more beautiful. The short story is that this textile company could not carry on and survive to the crisis. The other part of the story starts with a little history of my life, but I don't want to scare you. I want to tell you the whole story of my life. But when I was younger, my parents used to have a grocery store where, you know, you could find everything inside, from varnish to brooms to everything. One little object that we used to sell in Udine, in neighboring Friuli, was these little shoes made by the countryman of my region. These shoes were made with recycled material. The countryman used to pick up the used bicycle tires. They used the old jute sacks to create the shape of the shoe. And outside, they used to put whatever cloth they had at home. In good days, they used some nice velvet, which was embroidered as well. Some other times, they used discarded clothes. So these were shoes for working in the fields. As times went by, these shoes became used for, you know, people to use at home. And the coincidence was that I could say I was born with these shoes. I've used them throughout my life. The other coincidence was that for the past 20-odd years, I came very close to art because I was intrigued by art, and art helped me in looking at the world through a different angle, elevated my soul in certain unusual moments of life. And the end of the circle is that today, sorry, the other thing is that being in the textile business, I had asked some friends, artists, if I could produce, make some cloths and fabrics with their own designs, patterns, which I did. With these, I used to make some samples, finished products, bags, and these shoes for myself. I didn't really have any or many opportunities of working with artists on these projects because there was no necessity. It wasn't really interesting for anyone. But as I said earlier, thanks to the crisis and to the discontinuation of that old world, that gave me the opportunity of having a little idea and starting maybe on a new path of life. And using this old thing that came from my parents, the drogheria, the grocery shop, and starting asking friends and artists. When I met Fabrizio Berti, I was very touched because he had a very, all of a sudden, lateral view, lateral thinking about this idea of these shoes. What should we do about them? So I started approaching this relaunch of the old parents' company, and now here I am, starting producing and manufacturing this little item. God knows what would become out of it, but at least it's an opportunity to restart, to have to enjoy something that we do, and exchanging these ideas that might become something for a future for us. And I really look forward to seeing what Fabrice has thought about this little project that we're starting exchanging.
Gianfranco Baruchello.
Since the young lady gave me the microphone, I'm supposed to say something. So, in the past time, we've been collaborating about projects and collaborating with people of the production. This moment is difficult for me since I'm here. In fact, not only to participate to this meeting, but since I'm installing my work in the Biennale in Venezia of this year, in the booths, places, it means in the Giardini of Gianni show, and at the same time in the Italian pavilion. So what I can say now in few words is only that the following invitation. Come and see my work. Since one of those installations, the second, the first is an old work of my story, in Johnny part. The other in Italian is a project that we just prepared. There's a meeting about something which is possible to speak into. The installation of the work in Italian pavilion is a laboratory things. So about thinking, about imagination, how working with inside possibilities of the body, of the mind, and different kinds of direction that one can choose and suggest to invent, to speak, to modify the reality. So all I can say is, come and see this, but anyways, it's possible to you, you can adopt the idea. Means the mind is an organism, a mechanism which is capable of everything. So my place of working is the possible. So I've been working with the possible. This place and this installation is related to this question, which is possible to use the brain at the same time to imagine and to project, and at the same time do the same thing, working the dream. So dreaming and thinking are not very far, each one from the other. All I can say that our story of the friends of the Cavelli and he, they'll be trying to make some situation with people working in with industry or activities of that kind. I must confess that this moment I don't feel in a real position to suggest anything, besides the fact that I'm, as an old man with a long experience in life, I can speak about everything with pleasure, very strictly connected with my family's story, with Confindustria, an Italian place. So I know what is the problem to be a producer, since my father was this one, as I've been working as a boy inside the world of Confindus. This is to explain, which is not an enemy or a polemic against problem, which is not strictly related with art. And art is an instrument to be ready to speak of the possible. Marcel Duchamp said that the possible is something to be examined without any trace of aesthetic, of ethic, or metaphysics. So all I can do is just to speak in the future, if you have some ideas, and speak about any subject, but without any trace of metaphysics, anything aesthetic and ethic. That's all I can say to you, and say to you, good work if you can do something without any place, and he suggests of Baruchella. Thank you.
Restando in tema biennale, qui abbiamo anche Luca Vitone, Maria Candida Gentile, che hanno collaborato insieme.
Luca Vitone.
My experience for I'm invited here because I produce a work, an artwork with Maria Candida Gentile for the Italian Pavilion, but it's not an example that probably is converting with everything that we heard today here now. Because that is a very simple and classical way how we work. I'm an artist. I had the idea to do a project for the pavilion. And my project is about the smell, so a perfume in a way, not so sweet, not so polite, but a real smell. And I needed to do this project to collaborate with a nose, I don't know if in English it's called a nose, il naso, le nez, to and un parfumier. So we, thanks to my gallery, I was put in contact with Maria Candida Gentile, and together we start to work on this project. So something is a collaboration, but it's a normal collaboration where we pay Maria Candida Gentile to help us to do this project. And at the end, we did the final object or liquid that we irrigate in the space of the pavilion. And now if you go there, you can feel the smell. And this smell is a story. It's about the kind of dust, very terrifying dust that is the Ethernet material. So it's upset, yes. And this was the idea. Probably what can I say about the idea of the Rubicon Prize that made us, give us the chance to think something different or to do for our world, art world, for our projects. Of course, probably Swift, or maybe it's also something that ever happened like that. But anyway, this year was much more stronger than before. Is that finally, I don't know if you had the opportunity to see, to visit the Italian pavilion already, but it's completely different from the last Italian pavilion that we know, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and so. And so it was also in the few time that we had to think this kind of show, we had the fantastic help from some private people or foundation that, not only for me, I speak for all the artists that were in the show. In few weeks, all of us had the possibility to produce directly the work. That is not so easy if we think about the Italian system, I mean cultural system. Probably you know, all of you know what Italy is now in the last 20 years, what Italy became. So it's something really different from other countries, European countries, or other idea to work on the cultural system. So, for example, here we have the Dena Foundation that had, for example, my work for this Biennale, and that was a very good sign that we had, because I saw also the other colleagues that are working with me for the pavilion, we are 14, Gianfranco Baroppello is one of them. So that could be probably, well, I don't know if it's interesting or not, but the sort of a changing attitude that we had in Italy about our artwork. Could be a good sign. The problem in Italy, probably you know already that we have not a real structured system that helping the culture way how to pose itself. No? So it's very difficult. But probably this is a good sign that start to change some, but we hope so, we'll see, attitude, how to work in this crisis time. The idea of this kind of collaboration, so the economical way, so that our was very classical in a way. Probably the different things came after when we start to ask or to find the money to the work. And that is something that probably is not so usual to have in Italy overall.
Yeah, probably Maria Candida Gentile in italiano, ok. Lei è anche producer in qualche modo, perché lei ha, sì, ha anche questa veste di produttrice di una sua linea, partendo da essere un naso d'eccellenza, però poi applicandolo anche in qualche modo ad un prodotto. La sua collaborazione con Luca Vitone, ecco, questo è cosa interessante, vedere come dal suo punto di vista la collaborazione ha arricchito, ha stimolato, ha sviluppato nuove idee nel suo lavoro, alla fine, nella sua specialità.
Con il mio lavoro sono riuscita, penso, spero, a interpretare attraverso l'uso di tutte le molecole che io conosco, ne conosco più di 4.000, a cercare di interpretare quella sfumatura e quell'interpretazione che Luca mi ha chiesto, sull'amarezza, insomma, tutto quello che è il tema che diceva lui, che è inerente alla sua opera.
Marcello Zaccagnini, salve, buongiorno, ben arrivato. Sentiamo volentieri il suo parere da produttore e quindi anche da produttore che ha intrapreso un percorso in collaborazione con degli artisti per una interpretazione del proprio prodotto, per un intervento proprio all'interno del prodotto. Quindi insomma volevamo sapere, per chiusare questo incontro.
Marcello Zaccagnini.
Tutto quello che faccio da circa 40 anni lo faccio sempre con amore, come se ogni giorno mi trovassi a dipingere un'opera d'arte. È un po' difficile parlare di arte in un mondo, se vogliamo, tra virgolette, produzione industriale. Noi ci esprimiamo, io produco vino, cerco ogni giorno di colorare, di far sentire i miei vini l'amore e la passione dell'arte.
There was a press conference here which was very interesting because they pointed out the difference between the way of making art, producing art in Holland and here in Italy. And they said that it is the government which is first of everything in that, and the private forces, the private people, the here in Italy. So there are two completely different worlds.
Yeah.
So here we had an example today, abbiamo avuto un esempio di come cultura italiana è sostenuta dal privato, forse proprio come mancanza, no? della forza del pubblica. Però qui, nonostante tutto, abbiamo un rappresentante dell'amministrazione pubblica e ho voluto fare questo piccolo incipit per dare la parola a Andrea D'Apretto, che è assessore all'urbanistica del Demanio Lavori Pubblici di Trieste, anche perché Jona Friedman ha fatto la richiesta di poter confrontarsi attraverso Jean-Baptiste Nico, non soltanto con dei privati, ma anche con il punto di vista di una persona del pubblico.
Andrea D'Apretto.
È stato qualche primo tentativo di ritornare un po' a recuperare spazio nella città, ed un percorso che io credo sia sicuramente significativo, anche in relazione alle questioni che sono sottolineate sul vostro progetto di economicità, e forse anche per un vero risvolto democratico di poter vivere l'arte, perché di fatto il museo rimane sempre un luogo, certo, una sorta di contaminazione che possa trasformare i luoghi.
Alfredo, sì, Alfredo Pirri, un altro contributo.
A me pare che ci siano due questioni, e forse è bene essere molto chiari in questo senso. Una questione è la questione della democratizzazione dell'arte. Un'altra questione è la questione della produzione artistica. Non è detto che le due cose debbano andare per forza insieme, perché se si forzano le cose perché le due cose vadano insieme, ricreiamo una sorta di utopia negativa che è stata caratteristica di tutte le dittature. No, questo deve essere molto chiaro, cioè l'arte non è al servizio della democrazia, questo credo che debba essere molto chiaro, crea un ambiente democratico, questo è sicuro, rende possibile appunto uno scambio fra le persone.
Grazie allora, grazie davvero.